You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, welcome to Toffee TV. It is the final word. Me and John are going to try and dissect Everton's humbling at Stamford Bridge, John. It was, well, you were there. I mean, what was the general atmosphere like during the game, after the game?
I suspect you may be more angry watching it on telly because you're just in shock there.
Mm.
And of course, in the first half, it was all happening up the other end.
Yeah,
you know. So you were certainly for the Cole Palmer's header. You have to wait to see it on the screen to see what had happened.
Yeah.
Because it looked sort of no danger, and then the next minute it's in the net type of thing. And then Pickford is right down in front, you know.
Down the middle.
What's he trying to do? Be a Burnley goalkeeper or something. Yeah. but generally, that nervous amusement that this isn't really happening, you know, you know, sort of thing. We can't beat, yes, we are this bad.
Yeah.
And it was one of those, hopefully, rare occasions when pretty much no one turned up.
Yeah.
The ones who recognised that they themselves hadn't turned up got all tetchy.
Mm.
So Tarkowski behaving out of character. Others, like Young, were just completely and utterly anonymous.
Mm.
And the manager looking at him, because at least you choose some, like, you know, you're waiting for the director to decide what you see, aren't you? But you can look at him, and he was gesticulating not to the players per se, but to his own coaching staff in a, what the bleep do we do here?
Mm.
And then I thought he just never thought it through as a manager about what he should do at half time. I mean, brought three subs on, but I heard you live at 1 o'clock or whenever it was, you know, Dan Juma just warms a bench, and I think he's lost the plot. If he ever had it, he's lost the plot. You know?
They did show a clip of him, funny enough, of I think maybe in the third running. Where he was just him and the two of the coaches, and he just didn't look like...
Yeah. From 100 yards away, you could see that. We don't know, you know.
He was just, like, in shock of what had happened. Yeah. But, what I mean, I did a live show yesterday. I did a couple of live shows yesterday, and there was a lot of positivity going into this game.
Well, we did it.
If we go into this game like we have been, you know, Chelsea do give goals up. And yet, you know, the first 5 minutes or so, or whatever it was just, it was just pure basketball. I mean, obviously, you know, he's kept Ashley Young in the team. He's obviously brought Onana back into the midfield, but it just felt like pure basketball game. Like, we'll have a go, you'll have a go. And you know, if you're going to do that against a team that regularly scores, there's only ever going to be one winner.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I tweeted it, but I don't know when it was, but probably after I'd run to the tube station to try and catch one of the last two trains out of London, heading north sort of thing. And it was like he'd learnt nothing from the Man United game, where we did the same thing. We played the game that they would have wanted us to play.
Yeah.
And I just didn't get it, because I don't get it. I think Jack came out with a cracking line earlier on, which is, if you don't do the high press properly, you just play us out of position. Yeah. And that's a cracking, yeah, you know, succinctly says it all. And I don't know what he thought, particularly with Ashley Young in the team, why they were doing that. There was no need for it. Surely the right answer was to keep tight, mm-hmm. you know, perhaps a low block, make them work for it, and certainly keep an eye on Cole Palmer, who seemed to have free rein to do what he wanted. It just looked like a shit show, really, from beginning to end.
It definitely was.
Yeah.
It definitely was a shit show. I mean, yeah. Don't need to mix our words, but yeah. it was just incredible. I mean, we had
it so bad, I think you have to forget about it.
No, that's the thing.
It's one of them, you just go, that's one of those.
I wasn't massively sort of angry after the game. I've been a lot more angry watching Everton after the game, or seeing how we've give up a game against someone who maybe we should be beating. Or last night was just seemed like a collection of really, you know, you mentioned it before, everyone had an off night, the manager completely got it wrong tactically. And you have to now just put it behind you and say, well, that's done now. Let's not let it affect the next couple of weeks, which it can't be allowed to affect those games, because they are the most important games now. I just found the whole thing so naive from a guy who, you know, loves telling us how many games he's been in football for and how many years he's been managing for. I think that, to have that naivety to say, we're going to go to these. I've seen that people can score goals against. I've seen Bailey score. I've seen Sheffield United score. And go, well, we can do that. We can get under their skin. The game's not won in the first 5 minutes.
No.
And at Goodison, don't get me wrong, that's what I want to see. I want to see us go after teams at Goodison, because, you know, there's an effect. You know the effect it has on the crowd. But playing a basketball game with a team that scores goals when you don't score goals,
with individual talent, that trumps ours.
Yeah, is incredible.
Right across the board. And there's a real contradiction in sitting off Burnley at home and going at Chelsea away.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Yeah,
I just don't get it at all. It just went wrong from the start.
Well, he said after Burnley designed an ugly win or whatever it was, like, why couldn't you design an ugly way of winning for last night, or an ugly way of dragging a point out, which is what you've been doing. It's what's been effective. You know, when we went to Newcastle, we're a goal behind. If we played as open as we were last night, Newcastle would have been 4 or 5
nil
up.
They'd have done the same, yeah.
But we didn't. We stayed in the game and we grabbed the point. I just don't get that from last night. And of course, you know, I heard him again and he said, well, we nearly scored. We nearly scored in the first 5 minutes. We had the first big chance. Great. Good little move. Good run by Coleman. Good ball into the box. Got his head up, seen Beto. And Beto is put it over the bar. Now, whether he's offside or he's not, we don't know. Because if he'd put it in the back of the net.
But if you look at stats, there's half our XG right there.
Yeah.
And you can't... I mean, clearly, I've not heard of what he said. It was travelling. It's old news now. But I'll ask you. Was he just putting it on the players, was he? Did it?
Yeah, he was. He was.
He's done that a couple of times recently. He's put it on the players, right? And I think it go. Yeah, me and Baz have had this conversation many, many times about when you start getting nervous, right? And my pre-match starts when I see the team.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I didn't get it myself. A couple of good guys from Newport who travelled for 3 or 4 hours on a coach were going to rush away afterwards, another 3 or 4 hours back to Newport, right? And they read the team out. And the reaction from the guy reading it out was literally, bloody Ashley Young starting again. And it does, it makes you sing, because I have no idea. Listen, if there's people out there who think he's doing a good job, and in some games when he's not put under any obligation, if you like, then he's okay. But he was completely lost again last night. And you can't play a man down, right? You can if you're Burnley and you're playing Everton, right? But you can't play a man down who's actually on the pitch, because that's worse than being down to 10. Someone who's on the pitch, because you expect things and not. And I think there was no protection afforded the back four at all by whoever was in and around midfield.
Yeah.
You know, there were times when Garner and bloody Dwight McNeil were within about 2 yards of each other, you know? You think, well, back to Jack's phrase, isn't it? If you're over there, Jack... Sorry, If you're over there, you know, Garner or James, not Jack, but James or Dwight, who's where you should be?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and James, you're supposed to be in the middle. You know, okay, you do go out, you know. But anyway, it was all very frustrating, and it got quickly comical in the sense of, particularly when, you know, the goalkeeper says, there you go, just chip me from whatever it was, 30 yards.
No, were you like, though, because you mentioned, like, the midfield were running around like lunatics, and that's not what their job. We've spoken loads of times on the channel about Onana and James.
He's got to be a screen.
Onana's got to be a screen, but also James Garner does that quite a lot as well. He sits and playing a similar position.
They're not two for the same team.
You know, exactly. But so last night, if you've got two, you're just thinking a little bit like we did when we went to Brighton, when it was a dish of Garner Gay. And I think Garner that day, they just sat in front of the back four and didn't let anything pass through them. And last night, James Garner and Onana were just all over the place and were going past the ball. So certainly when they scored the first goal, Cole Palmer's got Branthwaite. He does them big time. And it's like, that should be Garner or Onana where you're getting through.
And that's why Branthwaite has been exposed quite a lot last night. Probably had his worst game. But it's cause and effect, you know. And of course, that turns into overstretching and all those sorts of things. It was cold, by the way, right? You know, and then he ends up getting himself a bit of a pull. You know, and that, again, you could again get into a situation where he doesn't play for a couple of games. And then we've got Michael Keane and all the connotations that brings. But lots of fans bailed, you know, obviously in the first half. Didn't go far, just went in the back and drank beer. You know, Chelsea happily had people beer throughout and kept the TV screens on, you know, so you were at home watching it on the telly and quite a few people were in Stamford Bridge watching it on the telly. Listen, I'm an advocate. Once you cross the line, it's always on the players, but they don't look like a group who believes in what the manager's saying.
No, it felt like that, to be honest. It felt after the first one from a Chelsea point of view is a really good goal. Cole Palmer does Branthwaite get away.
His calmness in not thrashing at it.
And well, you can see he was brought up by Manchester City.
Sure, yeah.
Great finish. But then there's no reaction. There's no reaction to it. The second goal is we allow a player to get out of a corner and then they just work the ball, get it in the box.
Keeper could have done better.
I don't know if he could have, Yvonne. I don't know where he could have pushed it.
Down.
maybe then he puts it down and someone taps it. Yeah, it's the same argument.
You're damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Cole Palmer reacts in the next minute in the back of the net. And then Pickford for the third goal. It's really, really stupid.
Oh, totally.
Really stupid. Again, 9 times out of 10, that's a simple thing for him. But last night he gets caught and Cole Palmer. At first, I didn't think it was going in and then it's just looped into the goal.
Yeah.
And it just looks like the worst thing. But again, it's just a reaction. There is no reaction.
No.
The manager is looking at the manager is with his coaches and he's looking at the players, and the players are almost looking back to him, going, "What do you want us to do here?" And that to me, last night, like we just said, last night's not a typical away performance, and I think
we've had 3 or 4 of them this season.
But you look at the players and think we need guidance here, because the thing you're asking us to do, which is alien, do we continue doing that or do we go back to what we normally do?
So sorry, interrupting, like, but on telly, you see more of the players up close. Mm. Is that a fair view, what you're saying, that they looked like they're asking, what do you want us to do?
I don't think the asking is in.
No, that's what I mean. The reason I ask is because that means what's happening is they're doing as they're told, and they're then questioning mid-game about whether they should continue to do it or not.
Well, there has
and
been...
We clearly changed a little bit in the second
There has
part.
Been a question mark over whether the players stuck to the plan. And I often think whether if players don't stick to plans, it's because they don't believe in the plans. And you can say that in good and bad. We've had situations previously where we've played a certain type of football and it hasn't been good. The manager comes in and he wants to change it and the players don't believe in it. They don't believe whether they're good enough or whatever. The way we
play, physically can't do
it. Yeah, we play a basic style which suits us because it helps us keep the ball out of the back of the net, which is what we should have been trying to do last night. And I just wonder whether the players looked and thought, no, that thing that we don't really want to do, we're 3-0 down because of it, whereas we're quite comfortable doing what we normally do, even though it's not great and it's not progressive. We can play that because it's been drilled into us every day. I just find the idea that you go to somewhere like Stamford Bridge and change the style to be absolutely crazy and on the manager. And the players aren't going to change. Players do what they're told. They don't go away from it. And when they do, they get dropped. That is the that's real.
We've had them on this sofa saying, even if they know it's wrong, they still do it.
Of course, even when players say, sorry, when managers get sacked and a new manager comes in and people go, why is he doing it for them? It's because they're doing it differently. Mm. They're not doing anything different, as in going to work every day, but the way they're being asked to
they
play.
They believe more.
Yeah. Well, the way they're being asked to play is just a better way of playing. So, I mean, being three down that quickly and then obviously just before our time, Jackson's goal, which is again, it's embarrassing for Tarkowski because he's looking around. The lad just pulls away from him. He gets a turn and scores, and it's embarrassing. He's allowed to cross it, and he's allowed to turn in the way he does. And you know the game's over, and then it's can you stop the rot? Will there be massive changes? Will there be some kind of massive reaction? We come out at half time. We've made three changes. The game changes slightly because suddenly then, you know, we get on the ball a little bit because they're 4-0 up. They don't care.
They dropped off 20%.
Yeah. Game management. They got a semi-final at the weekend.
Exactly right.
Game management. But we still, other than Gomez having a bit of possession, a bit more possession and looking a bit more lively, we didn't do a tap.
No,
we didn't do anything.
No.
It was absolutely shambolic again. Mm-hmm. And watching them just trying to play simple passes to each other was just nauseating to watch it, to be honest.
Tell me about it.
Well, you're there, yeah.
If you didn't laugh, you'd cry.
Mm. I mean, their XG went from first half, it was 1.59, so it went to 1.49 second half. Ours was 1.2 in the first half. It went to 0.26 in the second half. So we didn't do anything. We didn't create anything. We didn't all pull together.
The first half XG would both be better, probably.
Yeah. And obviously better had the goal.
But if you look at their XG, I mean, penalty that Palmer scored is 0.76 or something on its own.
Yeah.
So they just pulled stumps and said, you know, this lot will give us a couple of goals probably just by making mistakes.
Mm.
And that's sort of what happened, isn't it, really? Mm. But yeah, I mean, embarrassing is the right word, but I think you just have to take it as an anomaly. The curiosity for me is, if you can choose what you like, you know. If you're pro-Deitch and you said the players let him down, or if you're anti-Deitch and you say he got the tactics wrong and the players didn't like it, and so ultimately they're all to blame, right? Whatever. But it was clear to me anyway that something that got us caught twice at Man United, which was fundamentally high pressing and not doing it very well, he chose that to be the technique to go out to and play Chelsea, who've got a lot of really talented, they're not a very good team per se, right?
Yeah.
But they've got some talent to burn there, they really have.
Yeah.
And your phrase around basketball is an interesting one because, you know, often you don't get space in basketball, but on a big football pitch, a team with technically good skills and pace, and you see what happens. And, you know, this thing about let's go there, they're vulnerable, they haven't lost for 9 weeks.
No, I know.
In the league. But by the same token, I can't remember what the stat is. I think, again, you alluded to it on the live. They've conceded at least two goals in the last six or seven games or something. And we should have scored two goals. Mm. You know, if the striker can get on the end of a firmly hit cross, bang, you know, and that makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
And then, of course, if he's, and we are getting caught offside too easily, particularly in the last couple of games. We're easy to play the offside on. You know, and Decore, he might be fundamental to the system, but not when he's playing so crap.
Mm.
Yeah. And he's so far off. Don't know how much Ramadan's impacted. Does he have to get his energy back? But you're right. It, you know, might not matter in a week's time because one way or another, it's all going to happen in this next week, isn't it?
Well, it's ultimately, it's just from, I mean, quality. You could see the quality difference. I mean, we talked about Chelsea. People talk about Chelsea and people are saying, well, it's starting to come together now. You know, you can see that Cole Palmer's their main man, and I think the penalty thing was a big thing last night for them. You know, them
right in front of us, yeah.
Them arguing over the ball, and then finally, like Conor Gallagher coming on. You know, those things, they're working them out. They're a young collection of players who are.
I mean, their starting 11 was sub 25 average age. Ours was over 28.
Yeah.
So they've got a fair number of.
They've got good players, and it was bound to happen that they come together and put a performance in. And on the flip side of that, with some of the performances we've had, that was bound to happen. It was. It felt like at some point someone was going to do that to us. I mean, it doesn't always feel like that consciously, but just some games where...
I think you're right, and many of us might have expected that would have happened at Newcastle.
Mm.
Because of the way that stadium is and the fantastic fans they've got and all this sort of stuff. But I think, I don't know whether this is, I don't know what the general consensus is, but I think last night was more about how crap we were rather than how good Chelsea were. You take Cole Palmer out of that starting 11 and that's a completely different game.
Mm.
And that man is, I mean, how City can think, yeah, we don't need this guy. Maybe because they've got a guy called Foden, yeah. But it just shows you how they can grow players. You know, what's that? How many goals has he scored now? 25 20
odd, yeah.
In all competitions. And not many score four in a game.
No.
You know? And he just strolled around the place.
Yeah.
Every time he got the ball, he had space. You know, and it's funny because he doesn't have blinding pace.
Mm.
In fact, he doesn't have much pace at all, I don't think. Yeah. I've not seen him. Well, he certainly doesn't have to use it if he has got it. But he's just got an innate talent to see a gap.
Mm.
And if that gap's between him and the back of a net, he puts the ball in it.
He's a quality player. And obviously,
pure quality.
Chelsea have got quality players and have paid a lot of money for
them. They've also got some bog average players they've paid a lot of money for.
I just think that it's not that, when we're talking about it was bound to happen, it's because if you don't have a threat in your team, then teams are just going to go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
But your defensive structure, because you opened up this with it, which was you have a method of defending and how you play.
Yeah.
I mean, it's miserable and boring, but it keeps you tight and all that sort of stuff. But that shouldn't fall apart. You know, when all about you are losing their heads, you know, blah, blah, blah. If you're in difficult circumstances in business, fall back on process. We don't have a fallback to a routine. And that's got to be a lack of belief. I can't think of another reason why a reasonably tight-knit back four who have demonstrated, notwithstanding the challenges we've had all season, that defensively, by numerics, we were fourth best, right? In the sense of lowest conceding of goals, suddenly to fall apart.
Mm.
And for very experienced, been there, backs-to-the-wall type professionals like Tarkowski to lose it and get all petulant and I'm just going to bang into players because I can't get near you anyway, so I'll take a booking. So he's one booking away from a suspension.
But that was a worrying trait last night, wasn't it? You're absolutely right. If you can't, that philosophy...
Discipline broke down.
But the philosophy of Dyche all the way has been, if you can't score goals, then at least don't concede and make the game tight.
Yeah.
And we've seen that. We've seen how that can work when we went to Newcastle, Brighton, when it was a bit, flipped down the other way, conceding a last-minute goal, but... when they went down to 10 men, going 1-0 up against Burnley and being even against Burnley, it was, we're not going to be, we're just going to play in the counter-attack here.
Yeah.
And as you said before, to see that last night and almost play completely opposite to what we normally do and go, we're going to dispense with defending tonight, lads. We're going to do everything we can to score, even though we're not very good at it, was so strange. And then that to lead into petulance from an experienced player like Tarkowski, was worrying as well, because he should know better. As you said, he's picked up his ninth booking for absolutely nothing, something in the opposition half. You know, it's that lack of discipline is also very, very worrying. The manager's dragged off a couple of players as well and said harsh things about them, and you just think,
has he?
Yeah, well, he said they just weren't up to it and you know, that kind of thing.
And he doesn't like an honour anyway.
But just by the very nature of dragging them off, he's showing everybody, isn't he? When he's had plenty of opportunities to drag people off this season and hasn't done it.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't drag his favourites off. He doesn't drag other people off when they are absolutely terrible.
Well, I was tweeting it about the players who were warming up and stuff, so clearly he was going to make changes and stuff. And then you can see them all stripping off, but they're far away, and unless they turn around, you see the number, you don't know where it is. And then you see Ashley Young trotting onto the pitch, and you think, okay.
Yeah.
Whoever it is, we know three are getting hooked, but it's not him. Mm. And he was completely anonymous. But then I've got a downer on him, so we
know. No, he was terrible last night. Like, he was literally
not as a person.
But he literally did absolutely nothing last night, Ashley Young. And I know you could, other people did something and it mightn't have been great. He did nothing. He did absolutely nothing.
Particularly in the first half, completely nothing.
He didn't
anonymous.
Add anything. Yeah. He was just a
rebel. He wasn't even there. He was somewhere
It's like playing with 10 men.
He was somewhere else.
And when you've got him and obviously Seamus Coleman playing on the same side, again, that you've got to question, you've got to look at it and think, you're playing a team with loads of energy, loads of pace, because it was the pace that done us fit. They're just simply running through us with their pace. And you've decided to pick two players, you know, you add their ages together, it's in the 70s. I mean, that is, again, something where you think, what are you doing?
Both of them are younger than you, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, but in football terms, not real.
Just two. Ages of.
Yeah, no, that's a crazy thing to look at and think, we're going up against a team that got loads of energy, loads of pace. Let's put two players in their mid to late 30s on our right hand side in a Premier League game. And frankly, in the last couple of games, or last three games, Seamus Coleman looks like he's ready to hang his boots up.
If Seamus will know.
If I'm honest, he's looked really Bournemouth, you know, poor, and he hasn't looked great in the last. And I know he picked up an injury, and that's why he went off for half time last night. But to have someone in front of him protecting him, that's a slap in the face for not necessarily Jack Harrison as such, because Jack Harrison hasn't been amazing this season, but certainly Nathan Patterson, again, slapping the face for him, you know, whether what you think about him, to say, well, you can play right back and maybe Ashley Young can play right midfield.
You talk about man management, don't you, in industries generally, but football. And the manager's got himself into this getting battered at half-time thing. And he's got this youngish lad, who he's probably severely damaged his confidence and stuff like that. And he's got the guy, the go-to guy in Ben Godfrey, who he would start with ahead of this guy.
Yeah.
And he doesn't put Ben on. He puts the kid on.
Yeah.
Who tries really hard, looks rusty as hell, and then does himself, right. It's just...
It's hard to equate, isn't it? Why you would start Ben Godfrey in other games and then bring Patterson on last night. Well, it's because you're 4-0 down. I appreciate that. And Patterson was all right when he came on. He was rusty. But he's on an injury now, which... If it's a bad one, could cost them his place in the Euros.
Yeah.
If it's a bad one. And if it's not a bad one, he certainly won't get much game time.
That's right.
Between now and the Euros. And again, when you talk about man management, it's dead easy to pick old, experienced players who've been there and know them. All you have to do is just give them a little word in their ear. It's different when you've got to have young players and you've got to cultivate them and get their arm around them and actually work with them to improve them as a player. And I think that's another thing where Dyche has completely let people down this season. Again, when you look at the subs, you know, I'm surprised he did bring Patterson on, but maybe he looked at it as a more 4-0 down. I've got to bring an attacker on at least, just even if it looks good. But when you look, like you mentioned it then, not bringing Dan Juma on at some point, you know.
He must have thought, whoa. Yeah.
It's crazy. But people like Chimiti, who's basically been...
Was it 2 minutes from the end?
But he's wasted his entire... This should have been a season where he developed. Dobbin, this should have been a season where he developed. And I know Dobbin's injured at the moment. But these players have been completely wasted to the point where now that we need them, now that we're in the...
They're nowhere near ready. The PSR appeal will be next week, won't it? No, Forest next week, Arsenal the week after, whatever. And you've got Kevin Thelwell doing his bit when he was a witness in the IC itself, talking about the new recruitment strategy, which is fundamentally, it's real rocket science, people. So you should read it. You'll learn lots. Buy players young, develop them and sell them for lots of money. That's the strategy. But you go to any young player in any league, I don't care what league they're in, and they go, who's going to do the developing of me then? And they go, we got this guy here, look, 400 games in the Premier League, he'll develop you. And then they'll go, how's Mr. Patterson getting on?
Yeah.
How's Mr. Chimitti getting on? How's Mr. Dobbin getting on? Oh, no, they warm our bench, right? And I'm being really cynical now and mischievous, I suppose, but these things are all joined together.
Yeah.
You can't have a goddamn strategy that says buy young, underdeveloped players who you think have got a higher ceiling, which at worst you can sell on at a profit, at best they drop into your team and make a difference, and then appoint a manager who's not interested.
Yeah,
and that's not just this manager, maybe the next manager, and so on. It's got to be a joined up strategy, and it doesn't look joined up at all.
No,
because if Kev Thelwell takes credit for the recruitment strategy, who recruited the manager? Because they're at odds, and that's not anti-Dyche, that bit.
No.
This is potentially the right man for the right problem, which is backs to the wall, you know, finish 17th. But you're recruiting players for a different world, you know, at a time when you need talent on the pitch.
Everything's at odds with each other, isn't
totally.
It? Everything's at odds with each other, and, you know, when... Of course, he has got young players on the pitch. He's got James Garner, who's took off at half time. And he's got Dwight McNeil, who I think we often feel like. I think Dwight McNeil, you look at Dwight.
This day and age, 23, 24 is not young.
No, no, what I'm saying.
How old's Cole Palmer?
Yeah, no, Dwight McNeil. Dwight McNeil's got lots of Premier League games under his belt. And
he's still relatively young.
And he's still relatively young.
Now, but that's all he is, and he's 24, 25.
I think he's that old. But
he's certainly over 23 or older. Yeah.
And they do play, but they don't look like they've developed. James Garner, I've said this loads of times, and I'm not being disrespectful to, he'll never play for a club bigger than Everton. He has done though, hasn't he? Yeah, he'll never play for anyone bigger than Everton if he leaves them.
Yeah.
He could be at Everton for years, and Dwight McNeil will never play for a club bigger than Everton. I'm convinced of it.
Dyche will never manage a bigger club.
No, I know. But that's the thing. You'll watch these players, and I'm often told, people suggest to me how good these players are, and they're just not good. They're not good players. I'm often told about, you know...
Depends on the environment, right?
No, but go on.
No, it just depends on the environment. Mm. Every single Premier League footballer, anyone who gets to start a Premier League game is a good footballer.
Yeah, of course, but... That's how
you just said they're not good.
No, you don't look at them as through the eyes of what a level of football.
No, I think okay. If you say very simplistically, because you mentioned those two players, are they average, above average, or lower than average players in the Premier League in the position they play? In your view,
below average.
Right. Okay. So that means you've got below average guys who are starting every single, pretty much starting every game.
Yeah.
Right. And if you do it based on how they are now, where would you put Onana? Average, above average, below average in the role that he plays?
For us, he's average.
Okay, so average. Branthwaite, above average or below in the role that he plays?
He's above average.
Right, so we've got a mixture.
Yeah.
Right, and that's what happens in squads, isn't it, right? Is the manager getting the most out of the squad?
No.
Well, there you go, on the manager then. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you're a fan of Sean Dyche, just ask you don't have to publicise, you don't put it on Twitter or anything. Just say to yourself, do I think he's getting the most out of this group of players? Forget how good they are. They can all be shit, right? They can all be superstars. The managers are referenced, are measured the same way. Are you getting the most that can be got out of this group? And if you think he's getting the most out of this group, then I'll disagree with you, right? But that's all we should hold Dyche's feet to the fire
for,
right? Are you getting the most out of this group of players, yes or no? This group of players, if it can win three or four games on the trot, it can't then be allowed to go 13 without winning again. Therefore, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If we had leadership, right, is what you would say, and this is where excuse hits reason, right? If we had leadership, then something would be done about it. Now, if Kevin Thirlwell, as the director of football, doesn't think he can do his job because the chief executive isn't telling him what to do, then that's a lack of leadership.
Yeah.
Right? If Sean can't go to Kevin and send stuff the other way, that's a lack of leadership. If the two assistants can't get through to the manager that maybe we need to do different things, that's a lack of leadership, right? And ultimately, the whole place lacks leadership. Mm. So, hello, let's not be surprised when sometimes it becomes blindingly obvious on a football field what a mess we're in. Mm. You can kid some of the people some of the time and all that sort of crap. But it's a complete anomaly. This is not a group of players. I'm going to look stupid now. But this is not a group of players who are going to lose that badly more than once or twice a season, right? A, because they're not going to play someone who's right in the moment to destroy them. You can play that badly and win, can't you?
Let's
be honest. So they have to get it. And I think that's how the manager, when he does his pre-match, he didn't do it last night, did he, for the weekend? So when he does his pre-match, you'll say it's an anomaly, it's behind us now. Now, that's great for publicity, or public consumption, but if the players don't believe that, then they'll roll up on Sunday and they'll have the same mindset.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, isn't it?
And again, it's interesting. How would you play against Forest? Would you go at them? Mm. Would you sit off them? Would you have a balanced view if you're playing FM24? You know, and that's why, you know, you've got 300 or 400 games, Sean.
Yeah.
It's up to you to come up with it. But you're going to be measured about the outcome, and the outcome at the weekend cannot possibly be a defeat. End of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, that's it, isn't it? You're right. You put last night behind you. It was a full mixture of reasons, and of course, they've gone on and got a penalty, which at first I had no idea that was a penalty until they decided it was for the one
the previous one over to the left. Well, as I was on the pitch over, that was a stone wall. The one he appeared to give it for wasn't a penalty at all. In live thingy watching it,
and then
it was only in front of
and
us.
And then they've got the sixth, and obviously not only they got the sixth, but Patterson,
it's a kid who does it.
Kid does it.
Oh, he's so happy.
Patterson gets injured in the process, which has added another issue, because obviously
it's no issue at all because the man hasn't been playing.
Well, Seamus has gone off with an injury, so it means Ben Godfrey's going to probably end up playing right back for the rest of the season.
Scary.
And you factor in Jared Branthwaite going off and Michael Keane coming on and not given opportunities. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, we've got no idea. Hopefully it can be managed, and hopefully he'll be back for Sunday because we're going to need him, because you know, Beto is absolutely not up to...
What was it with Gay?
He had a hamstring, or he felt a hamstring or something like
so
that.
So he had the family thing followed by...
Yeah, chasing after kids, probably. But so, I mean, all that mixed together, it was just an absolutely horrendous night. And Dyche has gone very un-Dyche for the game, and that's what's made it even worse.
Do you
worse.
Think, because Billy No Mates, because I went there and back on my Todd, so I'm on the train and just musings and stuff. Do you think there's any semblance of the manager's being cautious with Gay and with DCL, right? Pre-match. And he's thought, we're probably going to lose this anyway. Let's go for it and see what happens.
Maybe he did. And maybe he thought, even if we went for it, it wouldn't be that bad. No, because I think...
He can't have foreseen such a hammering.
Yeah, and I think there was an air of before the game, cautious optimism, because...
There was.
The weekend had already finished. We already knew what the other teams were doing. Mm. If we went there and had a go, and it could have been a bit like Spurs, maybe, where it's a defeat where you play well, or you grab something out of the game and it's been a great weekend. I think the fact that the way we've been beaten, and of course the goal difference now, we've got the same as Forest. Mm. So that's really bad. That turned out to be a really bad weekend. It's done, obviously, more obviously losing 6-0, but I think if you'd gone there and lost 2-0 and had an alright game and everyone's come off the pitch, you go, right, that's not the one we were looking to win. We were looking to win against Forest, against Brentford, Sheffield United, and make sure we don't lose a Luton. Mm. They're the ones. It's just it's more the embarrassment of it being on Monday Night Football. It's a hammering. A player gets four goals, chips the goalie from 25 yards because he's not...
That's the goalie's mistake.
Because he passes to him. All those things, you know, Cole Palmer getting a perfect hat-trick is going to... Yeah. It's going to last longer in the memory. It'll be brought up more often. Cole Palmer scores.
So that lovely slotted goal in the first left half foot. Was with his wrong foot.
I don't know. He's a very talented player. I don't know if he's got a wrong foot.
Yeah, so true. Well, if
most footballers are supposed to have 2 feet.
Well, Pickford does, but we know he's a left footer, so maybe.
Yeah, but Pickford's right foot is still better than.
Oh yeah. No, I don't dispute
some
that.
Of our players.
Don't dispute that. But
right foot.
Even if you can do both, you favour one. So
yeah,
unless Palmer swaps. Which foot he takes? Now, how cool would that be?
Yeah.
Walking up to a keeper, he doesn't even know which foot you're going to use.
Yeah, maybe that's his next trick. Maybe that's his next trick to embarrass the keeper and the rest of his team. But
I mean, the manager, for me, has real issues. And I think I've sat here, I'm not sure if it was with you or with Baz Yonks ago at one of the away games, and it was clear that the two coaches were trying to get him to do stuff, and he was saying no.
Yeah.
You know? Who knows? They've got a little bit longer to try and get their heads around it. They'll have today off, presumably. Because, of course, players have to have days off after they've worked a day. It's a shift system. One on, one off.
Well, they might be in there today doing recovery and stuff.
Well, the ones who are injured will be, won't they? So.
I don't really question that kind of thing. It is what it is.
They've got to recover.
It is what it is. But what I mean, what we've got is what we've got. I mean, you know, you talk about players. We've talked about it before. People talk about Jack Harrison and then Ashley Young plays and then I want Jack Harrison back. You know, we've got Dwight McNeil on the left-hand side. He does nothing in my eyes. He does absolutely nothing. He's not a footballer. I think everyone knows he's not a footballer I would have ever gone touched with a barge pole. But he still does more hard work than a lot of other players would say that. But he can't come out the team. Can't, I mean, maybe you look at Dan Juma now, but that really is the problem, isn't it?
What we can't do on Sunday is changes for changes' sake.
No, that's what I'm saying. There's
a reason why he's not been playing certain players. He can't suddenly pop up and say, I'm going to play them now.
Yeah.
You know, he can't do an exaggerated version of putting Patterson on at half-time.
Yeah.
You know, almost to go, see, I made changes and we've still lost. But, you know,
but this is the problem, isn't it? We are...
And he's from Nottingham. He lives in Nottingham, so maybe...
but we are where we are because the manager ground the team down in the first half of the season to get the points. And to be fair to the manager, he's got the points. The points are there, but then some of them have been taken off us. Mm. We've had two different realities this season. We've had the one we were in and the one we're in now. And he's not reacted to the one we're in now. Or the one we're in now, the players are so gone in terms of physically because the squad's so small. That the other players that he had... that he had to develop during the season so that for the back half of the season they were available. He hasn't done that. So we're stuck, aren't we? We're in a limbo.
There's a huge amount of overthinking there, right?
No, I don't think there is. Because it's a season's work, John.
I understand, yeah. You know, and the man has built a career on, you know, 1.2 points a game, over 38 games. You get out the other end, there you go. We didn't get relegated. Fantastic, right? But professional footballers shouldn't be shot, right? Now, if you're trying to tell me that they expended huge amounts of energy, you know, getting 4, 5 or 6 points in 13 games, because ultimately, and the Baz was here, I guess, you keep coming back to almost half a season of getting nowhere.
Getting nothing.
You know, and if you take that manager's career average into account, we should have 10 more points.
Yeah.
We'd be sorted already, right? So, sadly, the wheel's fallen off in quotes, right? It's happened, it's been and gone. And now he and the squad and us and everyone else have got to deal with the consequences.
Yeah.
And there's still a glimmer of hope that there's actually clubs worse than us in this, right? But we keep giving them a room for optimism. Mm. If you're Luton, you think, you know, you can either think we've got to play these guys, or you think, didn't see that coming. Bit more effort, you know, keep the pressure on them. They'll flake. They've been to the well twice in consecutive seasons. The old circle of the drain story, you know. And this is to be the time that they don't get out, you know. So let's time the uplift in whatever uplift we need to be most damaging. And beating Forest would make a huge difference. It'll give you some of your goal difference back, yeah. Because whatever it is, it will be double whammy for Forest. And, you know, just make Luton run out of games. Ultimately.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Ultimately, no, you're right. Ultimately, the games we've got left, if we can't muster enough points, then we deserve to go down anyway. You know, regardless of if you can't beat some of your competitors or some of the teams around you, then you don't you don't deserve to be in the Premier League.
No, in a normal, if there's such a thing with Everton, but in a normal series where we're at this stage of the season and you're playing at home the teams you need to beat because they're the ones around you down there, you'd revel in it.
Mm.
Well, we've got Sheffield at home, bring it on. We've got Forest at home.
Yeah.
We've already done them at their gaff, yeah. Right? We've got Brentford, tidy team, but we can turn them over. We've done it before. We can do it again. There you go. Optimism, 3 games, 9 points, job done. But it's not that easy, is it?
No, and the timing of this defeat.
And we couldn't get Liverpool at a better time.
Mm.
They couldn't get us at a better time to re-energise their confidence after a few poor performances. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've got to, they've got to go on the pitch, these footballers of ours, confident in the tactics and the strategy, it's a bit heavy to call it strategy, the tactics that the managers said we're going to employ. And if he doesn't ask them, particularly his close ones, be his captain or whatever, right? Are we cool with this, guys? Mm. Do we believe in this? Right? Because we have to believe. Just watch Pep.
Yeah.
He doesn't use the words, but he's constantly asking his players, do they believe? Do they believe? And he tells them what to believe.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'll rock up at the weekend. My uncle will be over from Canada. He's coming to see the old lady before it gets pulled down. They just need to win for Uncle Billy. It's as simple as that.
They need to win for a lot of uncles.
Yeah.
On Sunday. It's just a case of winning a game, isn't it? It's up to the manager to energise them this week.
But I don't want to hear afterwards, whatever the outcome is, some bullshit about we were ugly or whatever. Or we decided to be expansive today, right? Just go out and do what you've done all season to a degree, which is be hard to beat, good at set pieces, where Forrest are not.
Yeah.
Recognise who their players are, who you don't want to be on the ball too much, certainly in the last third. Mm-hmm. And, you know, have your attention switched on.
Yeah. No, absolutely, absolutely.
You know, sounds easy, doesn't it?
Well, some people make it look really, really hard, but some of people who make it really look really, really hard. Let's have a look at Beto's numbers from last night. Obviously, he did put the ball in the back of the net and obviously he put one over. As you can see there, a little bit of red in the box, not much else.
Yeah.
Shots on target, two.
Where are you with Beto?
I'll tell you now. Missed chances, one. XG of 1.31. Accurate passes, 2 out of 5. Yeah. And duels, 1 per game. 3 out of 6.
Yeah.
Beto is the poster child for Everton. He costs far too much money and offers very, very little in return. I think he's he runs around quite a lot. I can't fault the lad's endeavour.
Who bought him?
I just don't think he's a very good footballer. Or he's got lots and lots of rough edges.
Bought him though?
I don't know. And again, I go back to why we bought him. We clearly bought him because the terms were favourable for us.
Yeah, I heard you saying that before. And again, I think that's a bit of a unsupported, damning indictment.
I don't think it is.
If
you had two deals for two players, and one of them is better than the other one, but one of them is you don't have to pay anything up front.
Well, okay.
Then you're going to pay the one that you don't have to pay.
No, you're not.
Well, we are, because we have. We've done it with him, and we've done it with Dwight McNeil.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's your opinion, right? Okay. But when you use the phrase, the deal is, we bought the deal and the player is secondary. That's the implication.
That's right.
And I think that is damning. And if that was true, sack Thelwell right now.
Okay.
Right? Sack him right now. Because if you're saying, simplistically, I've got X to spend, but it has to be in this deal structure. Anyone available, we can do. Yeah, we're trying to get rid of this guy called George. Oh, we'll have him then. Because in that world, you can't possibly be in any real business in a situation where you're thinking, we want to play with these talents and these skills and these experiences, and they cost 50 mil.
Yeah.
And we've got 25 mil to spend. Well, you can't have him then. You can have this guy though, but he doesn't fit what we want. Yeah, but you can afford him.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have him then.
Yeah.
If that's what they've done, if they've actually prioritised just having bodies, then that's so incredibly damning, it's not true, right? The reason I asked who bought Beto, clearly it doesn't really matter, but because the club bought him, right, is he's a man who plays in a two.
Yeah.
And we've got a manager who's never going to play more than one. So is he rough around the edges? Yes. Can he be a handful? Yes. Has he got a good first touch? No. Does he know where the goal is? Yes. If you create big chances, will he likely take them? Yes. Can he play off someone? Who knows? Because he gets seconds. It's like bringing, you know, a Chimiti on with 2 minutes to go. At the end of the season, he's had 10 appearances, but he's played 22 minutes. Yeah, you know, what's the point, right? I'm sorry, but you can talk to all the bloody independent commissions you like about strategies for recruitment, but we don't see it. We don't see the outcome. Yeah. Who are the players we've bought to develop? Is that Chimiti? Well, he's not developing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And Beto wasn't a development player. No. So why did you spend all that money on him? Right? Dwight McNeil wasn't a development player. You know, clearly you're not going to develop a loan player. So Dan Juma is just money you're going to burn.
Yeah.
Right? And you don't play him.
Yeah.
And then he gets injured when you perhaps you need him.
Yeah.
And then when he comes back, you don't play him. You know, it's you've got to have a normal challenger environment. And I don't think that happens either in Premier League football clubs or in our football club in particular. You know, if the assistants can't challenge the manager, what are they there for? Just to be a thingy McNeil just saying, yes, boss, no, boss, three bags, full, boss. You want two sugars in your coffee, boss. Gaffer, sorry. Gaffer. You have to call him Gaffer. And the director of football can't challenge you or whatever. It's
the
mad.
Thing is, you're absolutely right. And of course, Sean Dyche didn't buy, say, Dwight McNeil, although he probably would have. It's not a thing. It's not like a personal thing. Of course,
no, it's not.
What it is it's looking
at... Because these are all good footballers.
You're looking at footballers and going, what did they add to our team?
Yeah.
Dwight McNeil's got no pace. So he's a wideman. So he's not adding loads to you. Beto is a player that we don't even play in the style that he wants to play, which is down the channels, down the side, so he can run behind. He wants to run behind.
He wants one-on-ones.
Yeah, he wants to run behind the centre-backs.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be winning balls in the air. And it's this way, this Frankenstein squad.
Yeah, I've heard that phrase. You've used that a lot. Who come up with... I know it's a phrase, but who started it in here? Was it you, Jack, or whatever?
I don't know.
Me,
okay. Right. But the point is, it's a Frankenstein squad not based on different managers. It's a Frankenstein squad based on basically finances of, well, we need this player and we've got no money, so let's go and get this player. Rather than actually looking what we need. We don't have any pace, so go and get someone with pace.
Right. Okay, this is fun now, right? Instead of that boring stuff talking about 6-0 defeat, right? Because, no, I'm with you.
Yeah.
What you just said, I'm not going to diss what you just said. But in a world where you're tight on finances, and there'll be people out there watching this who say, oh, it's easy to say on a blue sofa, right? But you've got to, if you're going to call something a recruitment strategy, right? Then part of the strategy has to be, what's the objective? And how can we best achieve the objective? And that's the balance of, you know, types of players, skills of players, and all that good stuff. And how much money you're prepared to invest or are capable of investing and so on and so forth, right? And if you look at the Premier League and you think, right, okay, say it was MLS, breakout franchise. Nothing exists.
Yeah.
But you're going to join the Premier League next season or two seasons out.
Yeah.
What would you do? You'd sit down and say, what kind of players are successful? How big do goalkeepers need to be?
Yeah.
How fast do these types of... And then you said, there's your FM24 or FIFA or whatever it's called these days, dream team, but competency-based, and you've just got to put names in, right?
Yeah.
And then compare that to Everton, and you'd be a million miles away.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We've continually acquired players with no pace whatsoever, right? Now, if they've got an excess of talent, you don't need pace because quality shows. But you can't have more than one or two of these guys.
Well, what we've acquired, John, is players that other teams don't want or other teams that have...
Well, every player you acquire, they don't want.
Being relegated.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have them. Even if you're paying £100 million for a player, the team who sold him didn't want him because they'd rather have the £100 million.
Well, that's not strictly true, John.
It is.
That's not.
So they could say no.
Yes,
you can.
I don't think
I'm breaking it down into very objective binary decisions, right? Do we
can't
want this...
say no if they don't want to sign a contract.
That's different, right? But do we want this? Well, hang on. Do we want this player or £100 million? Oh, that'd be £100 million, thank you. Because every single player should be the same, shouldn't it? Mm. So if someone offers more financially than you think they're worth, take it. Now, that's when I do my bullshit around, you know, plan the dive, dive the plan type crap. You plan that out, haven't you? And that's what strategy is.
Yeah.
It's not just something you say to a PSR commission, right? And there's no evidence, for me anyway, that Kevin, if he has one, has been allowed to execute on the strategy. Because if you've concluded you need pace, we would have pace. It might be raw.
Yeah.
It might be youngsters.
Yeah.
But we'd have pace.
But we'd have pace.
But we haven't done that.
We haven't got any.
So there you go.
Yeah. And they did and destroyed us. Right. Let's have a look at these stats from last night.
Yeah.
Here we go. Just the two shots on target for us. Big chances. They had six big chances and they scored six goals. We had one big chance, 41% possession for us as well.
I suggest they missed the. And number of those big chances.
Yeah, they probably did. Probably
because
because the one
like half what
lobbing the goalkeeper's not a big chance, is it?
Their XG was half the number of goals they scored, so you know.
Oh, they definitely could have scored more goals, and Jordan Pickford has actually had to make a few saves. So there it is.
Terrible. Crap.
Yeah, rubbish. We move on to Sunday now, and there better be a reaction.
Who are Chelsea playing the weekend? Anyone know? Who?
Man City in the semi-finals.
Oh, of course they are. Next league game, I meant, probably.
Oh,
they'll lose it, mate. And they'll concede two goals.
Okay.
To whoever
they probably will. They haven't conceded. They haven't kept a clean sheet since December. And then
they have to concede had a clean sheet last night.
Everton, and then Everton rocking.
Pochettino, we say, told you that was good.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Right, we're going to continue this over on Toffee TV Premiere, taking your questions.
Because
we're live right now. We are literally live. And you could
this has been live.
You could be watching this. You could be watching this.
I thought you were going to bleep the swearing out.
I can't bleep the swearing out.
I didn't know it was live.
Of course it's live.
You never told me.
Toffee, for the cost of a coffee, for like one coffee for a month.
You get two for coffee.
You get, I mean, never mind a beer. You wouldn't need to get half a pint for what we charge for a month.
Can in Costello's and Stockton Eat.
Okay. That's and also you get discounts on your merchandise. All the shows have no adverts or none of the podcasts any have adverts. Come and we don't say this enough, right?
We're not it's a giveaway, you know.
We're not good at self promotion, but you know what? Toffee TV Premiere allows this thing to work all the time. Otherwise, we don't have to get real jobs, and we couldn't be your therapy session.
Is the discount on merchandise still obscenely high?
Yeah, it is.
Says the business guy.
We need to change that.
No, it is.
But right now, it's extremely high. Go and sort it. Go and check it out.
Have you ever thought about buying a hoodie? Just subscribe.
Just subscribe, yeah.
And save about 10
Practically
times.
Practically just get a hoodie.
10 times your subscription.
There you go. So, Toffee TV Premiers, just wait a little minute. Everybody else, see you later.
Thank you.